To help support this podcast
and get exclusive bonus content and rewards,
make a monthly pledge at
patreon.com/universebox.
And remember to think outside.
Mr. Penguin, for some men, love is a source of strength. But for you and I, it will always be our most crippling weakness. We are better off unencumbered. You said it yourself. Your mother is dead because of your weakness. But what you need to realize is that your weakness was her.
And I have nothing left.
A man with nothing that he loves is a man that cannot be bargained. A man that cannot be betrayed. A man who answers to no one but himself. And that is the man that I see before me. A free man.
Better unencumbered. That woman is, how do I put this? The devil! Welcome to Legends of Gotham, where we talk about Fox's hit series Gotham, set in the world of Batman. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And we're back another Tuesday night. Tuesday night happenstance here at live.universebox.com. As usual, we're here with our chatters. We don't
have
any right now.
Yeah, we have King Kerr.
King Kerr.
And King Kerr is quiet.
King Kerr. I concur on that.
I concur with King.
But usually 8:30 p.m. EST, live.universebox.com is where we meet up to do this live. And sometimes we do it with a bunch of chatters like last week. Sometimes we do it with a couple. Sometimes
they come and go.
Yeah, it happens. People have lives. Some people are watching
the flash. People have lives. People do things other than listen to our podcast as he turns my volume down.
They do. They do do things other than
inappropriate.
Well, you always talk like 3 decibels lower before we record it.
There's an adrenaline thing.
It is.
It's
exciting because on Gotham, we always have a very exciting episode to talk about. But before we get into that, Anne-Marie, you wanted to make a little announcement real quick, right?
Hi, we're having a Christmas gift exchange.
Yeah, do you guys like us?
Do you like presents? We like presents.
Do you like presents?
So
maybe Batman-related presents,
possibly. We are doing, we've organized a Secret Santa gift exchange through the website Elfster for listeners of all of our shows. So, you know, there will be some Once Upon a Time people, some Gotham people, some Universe Box people.
Rip Universe Box,
but
it's kind of still there.
It's kind of there. But we'll have the link in the show notes for you to go to that blog post about that with a little bit more. It's not a huge amount. I have it set at like $15.
Yeah, or you can just go over to universebox.com and it's right up on the front page.
It's right up on the front page.
We'd love to buy you a gift if we get you.
We would. I really, 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 really like buying presents, especially for Christmas gift exchanges. It's kind of a problem. Mm-hmm. I usually join too many. This year I'm down to 2.
yeah, we are. We already have
we have 9 people.
9 people signed up?
9 people. Oh, good. Bobby's in the chat. Yay, Bobby.
Hello, Bobby.
We have a bunch of people, many that you may recognize from our chat, including Senor Bobby.
Yeah, but if you want to get your gift on in Gotham, got to go to universebox.com, check out the blog post, and then go to Elfster and sign up. What's the deadline?
December 1st. So you
December
still
1st.
Have... A little bit. I made it after Thanksgiving to give people some time. So
definitely, but and it's a way to keep the spirit of Gotham giving all throughout the new year and all throughout the break and everything.
Absolutely, because we gotta have something to do in December because there's no Gotham.
Yeah, there is no Gotham. Only a couple weeks left on Gotham. Which, by the way, we'll also mention that if you do a Gotham podcast, we're going to be doing a Gotham Podcasters Roundtable the week after Gotham goes off the air.
We sent an email out to some that we were aware of. But if you do one and you didn't get an email from me, email us.
Just shoot us an email, legendsofgotham@gmail.com, and we'll get it all set up.
Totes.
It'll be funsies.
Lots of totes.
Okay, Anne-Marie, why don't you go ahead and hit us up with our riddling, rhyming episode summary.
Okay. Why is the lady after our hero? She'll kill her mom if you've got the narrow. How does the Riddler treat a house guest? He sticks him with needles to ensure proper rest. Is Jim in danger? Yep, that's a bingo. Will he get eaten by the chain-swinging flamingo? Where darkness lies, will Gordon soon follow? A gun to the mouth is a bitter pill to swallow. Oh, that was a fun one.
A bitter pill to swallow. Anne-Marie, what'd you think?
I loved it. I really...
They just keep getting better and better.
You know, honestly...
It's impossible. I feel like I'm living...
Don't say impossible. Please don't say that.
I feel like I'm curled up in Enigma's apartment living a fever dream because Gotham just keeps getting better and better.
Not that I don't know the tune.
Whatever the tune
Whatever
was.
Whatever the tune was.
Fill in the actual
Fill
tune
in
there.
Tune. Yeah. So, I know. I think it was really good. I know a lot of people are really excited for Flamingo. I, of course, have no idea what a flamingo is, except that he had a pink feather in his head.
Well, I wouldn't say a lot of people were excited, but
okay,
some
well,
people,
I apparently
a
saw...
Class, a certain class of people were.
A certain class of people, so you.
Yeah.
Maybe I just, it felt like I saw a lot of hullabaloo on the internet being all excited. But yeah, so it was good times. Good times.
So,
what'd you think?
My first point, I liked it.
Your first
I
point?
I liked it. My first point is about Flamingo, actually.
Nice.
Okay, yeah, just we've done the background of Flamingo before, but I figured I'd go ahead and just give you the rough notes on it.
Okay.
He character created by Grant Morrison in 2007 for Batman issue number 666.
Mm-hmm.
He's a cannibal who eats people's faces. Yummy. And he in the show, he was strong, capable, and crazed. And I really, really liked him. I also saw Joel from Portland in the chat room. Hi, Joel. I really liked the rendition of him on the show. I'm also really glad they finally introduced a Joel says he's cooking dinner, but he's here. Is it people's faces, Joel? Because that would be appropriate.
I think it was an ear. Maybe a cheek?
Possibly.
Maybe a cheek. Interesting. Possibly.
But I'm definitely glad they finally introduced a Morrison creation on Gotham. Grant Morrison's one of my favorite comic book writers ever, and his run on Batman from the late aughts, like I think it was like 2005 or 2006 to 2009, 2010, something like that. It's maybe my favorite run on the Batman character ever. In fact, part of the reason I don't like the Court of Owls story as much as most people is because I felt like it ripped off Morrison's run on this book with a Dr. Hurt and all that kind of stuff, like, you know, a secret society manipulating Bruce Wayne's world his entire life, that sort of thing.
Manipulating Bruce Wayne?
Yeah,
I
know.
That doesn't sound
People
familiar
do that
at all.
Time. But I also feel like I feel like the Flamingo fought with chains in the comic. I tried to find a picture, like a source picture to verify that. I couldn't.
Yeah.
But I feel like he did, and he did in this episode. So if
it makes
so,
sense. It felt very natural, like it was just supposed to be there.
Yeah, but he was sick, twisted, and fun. I really, really enjoyed him.
Sick, twisted, and fun. I'm concerned about you, sir. I am concerned about you.
I almost would have pegged him as this week's Joker if we didn't have another one, which we'll get to. But I also just wanted to say, rest in peace, Officer Parks.
Oh, you know, she did a good job, too. Yeah. I was proud of her.
She stuck through much longer than other Jim
Most
Gordon.
Most of the Strike Force?
Yeah, other Jim Gordon mentees. Because I've noticed a pattern here. The more closely Jim mentors a newbie and encourages a newbie and says, you're doing a good job, the more
they're
likely
dying.
They're going to die by the end of the episode. Yep. So
you want him to go, you know what? You suck.
Rest in peace.
Then you might make it.
Rest in peace,
didn't he yell at Alvarez? Alvarez?
Maybe.
Early on?
Yeah, yeah.
He yelled at him, and now he's the one calling him and telling him.
And now Alvarez is it can only appear by phone, I guess.
That's because he's out doing the promotional tour.
Yeah, yeah.
All of the
very
interviews.
True. I mean, he's definitely in a lot of Gotham articles, not so much in the Gotham show. And that's not a slight on
he's
him.
He's got a real job.
Yeah.
Well, another real job. Whatever.
But
anyway,
would like to see more of Alvarez.
Totes.
Definitely. Totes.
I don't know why I'm saying totes tonight.
Okay, so you totes want to talk about Pangy Pants, right?
Mr. Pangy Pants and Ed. Ed Enigma from Forensics. I absolutely adore how he was taking
care
of
Pangy
Pants.
Oh, by the way,
Rip, yes.
I will say Rip the guy from Forensics.
Yeah, Rip the guy from Forensics.
I was kind of wondering, are they not missing Ed in Forensics?
Where did he get all the medical things to take care of Penguin?
Very true.
However, Crazy Ed or Head Ed or whatever we were calling him snuck in there with a dead body. So I'm sure it's not too hard for Conscious Ed to sneak in and take some medical things.
I mean, Zaz sneaks in there. Barbara sneaks in there. The Electrocutioner took over the joint at one point.
So did Zaz.
Yeah, so did Zaz.
So basically, worst protected.
Not to mention the hashtag maniacs.
Oh, the hashtag maniacs.
But we're
not there, though.
Ed
and Pangy Pants.
Ed and Peggy
okay,
Pants.
Okay, so not only did Ed take care of Pangy Pants physically, but he really took care of him mentally, too. Like, so physically, he's forcing him to rest by stabbing him in the neck. I appreciated that. Then he was like, oh, prolonged exposure. Here, have some fluids. Here, here's some water. And then we're going to have bottles and bottles of wine and Chinese food. Hello.
Always yummy.
Yeah, and singing. Not letting him leave. Be like, listen, dude, you're a wanted man. You're injured. You will make it three blocks and then you'll be dead. Go back to bed. Stop.
Trust me on this.
Trust me. Then mentally, you know, sure, it sucks to lose your mom and the only person who's ever cared about you in your entire life, but you are going to be a better person for it, Mr. Pengy Pants, because nothing's holding you back now. Nothing's holding you back now. looking forward to the team up that I don't know if is really going to be a team up or mentor, mentee, or what. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure what's going on with that.
Yeah. I have some thoughts.
I'm sure you do. Is that coming next?
That is coming next.
Oh, actually. Good. And last but not least, poor Leonard.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Poor Leonard. You know, he probably has
Did we actually see Leonard or
is it
just implied?
What do you mean? We saw the person.
Did we see the actual Leonard without the bag on his head?
Nah.
I didn't think so. Nah. I didn't think so. Oh, King Kerr in the chat room says, I think Flamingo should have been cast by a creepier looking guy. I thought he was pretty creepy, especially with the blood on his teeth and the gun in his mouth.
Yeah, I thought that scene was a little...
Which is that... I was thinking that was what the title reference, A Bitter Pill to Swallow, was about. Was like the gun in the mouth.
See, I also thought... I thought it was... I mean, it always has multiple things. But I thought it was that Penguin accepting the fact that his mother dying was going to be a good thing.
That too.
Because I feel like definitely. That would be a pretty bitter thing.
Okay, but I had some thoughts about the whole Ed and Pengy Pants team up slumber party thing too.
Okay.
Okay, Ed the free man, as I call it here. Mm-hmm. I thought Ed wanted Penguin to be his teacher, yet through his monologuing, he became a teacher of sorts.
Right.
Kind of how you pointed out. Mm-hmm. But that was such a good monologue by Corey Michael Smith / Edmigma. Some key lines. I think it was actually...
I thought you just said key lines. I was like,
It was Corey Michael Smith. Talking, but Edmigma's voice. It was all Corey Michael Smith's actual thoughts as a person.
Ooh.
No, I'm kidding.
Joel from Portland. I was thinking John Leguizamo.
Oh, for Flamingo?
Yes.
That would have been good.
That would have been amazing.
As long as it wasn't John Leguizamo from The Pest, which is one of my least favorite movies ever. but actually, my former client of mine, Romany Malco, was in that movie.
Oh, Romany.
Yeah, some really good lines in Ed's monologue. This is just a summary of a few of them that I really liked. We are better unencumbered. Your weakness was her. Mm-hmm. A man with nothing that he loves is a man who can't be bargained. A free man.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that kind of. It's kind of a summary of what makes a good villain. What makes a good someone who can play in this world of Gotham, which is so intense. You know, you can't have something that someone can get leverage on you for, or else you know you're going to be like Jim, being led around by a million different forces because he shot a guy in the first episode. You know,
right.
Although I do think that the reason Jim keeps pushing Leslie away is because of this, because he wants to be unencumbered.
Yeah.
He doesn't want something that, you know, can be bargained for like Barbara did last episode with Leslie.
Right.
He wants to be free to fix Gotham. So I think this is going to be a big thematic thing, not just for Penguin and Riddler here in this scene, but for Jim overall, and at least the half season, if not the full season.
Yeah, that relationship has to end.
And like you mentioned, Chinese food, wine, and murder, a true friendship. That's just a good slumber party. For sure. Mm-hmm. And it was just nice to see them, because, you know, Penguin has been like, what's this nerd doing?
Uh-huh.
For most of his interactions with Ed. And then a bottle or two
of wine.
Yeah. And now they're together and joyful. And it was just kind of nice, a rare, relaxed moment amongst the villains during the rise of the villains. And I have some more thoughts on Penguin later on. But okay. I think as far as their team up, pretty darn good.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah.
Also, I don't know what it was. I didn't get a chance to look. But I noticed that that Edmigma had a Zelda the Great poster or something in his apartment, which I believe is a reference to the 60s Batman show. There was a villain called Zelda the Great, which I think Holy Bat Pastor is called that once or twice.
Oh, has he?
Yeah. So.
Oh, that makes sense.
So I thought that was interesting. But you wanted to talk.
I have some thoughts on Jim.
Talk
Jim
a little bit
has
about
completely
Jim.
And 100% cracked. He's done. Mm-hmm. He's like, can't even like function.
Bop, 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 ba da, bop.
We don't play in these things, people. So we've seen him moving more and more towards the dark side, and how he's having a lot harder
the dark side.
Having a hard time holding the darkness away and resisting and fighting. Common theme in life right now, I guess. But this time I think it really came to a head. Like, with the excessive force on the assassins trying to kill him. Nah, well, except maybe hanging the dude's head out the window. I don't know. I might have launched him.
That felt like a very Batman move to me.
Yeah? Well, yeah. It did feel very Batman-esque. But he did it right in front of Barnes, and this is not...
Pray to me! You know, that sort of thing.
Sorry. Okay.
I think... there we go. I think the Riddler... the Riddler stuck Anne-Marie with a needle in the neck.
I'm back. Hydrate. Okay. I think when he realized that both Leslie and Barbara were pointing out this darkness monster in him, he's leaning into it, it's finally sinking in, and he's like, how is this gonna change? Like, I can't do this. Like, and I'm sure that's why we don't see him actually blow Flamingo's brains out, which, of course, thanks Barnes for the idea. Thanks for that. That was great.
Jim took some inspiration.
You know, he did take some inspiration from his boss.
But no, I think you're right that Jim is definitely leaning into very dark places. But I think he's seen some utility in it. And I think it's going to be a case of know thyself with, you know, obviously tempered because right. Jim is a good guy underneath, with even with everything going on. He is a good guy at the heart of it.
Right.
So I think it's going to be a situation of know thyself. I think at the end of the half season, he's going to come to a place where he's accepting of this dark side. He leans into it. He throws off the baggage of Leslie.
Adios, Leslie and Bebe.
Yeah, and he's able to just go full tilt into bringing down these villains who keep rising up everywhere, who keep popping up everywhere. But I think it's going to be an interesting journey, and I'm also very excited to see Jim kind of unencumbered, as Ed would put it.
It would be really nice to see.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good, but I think we probably have another episode or two before it really hits.
I think so. Hits. Probably.
All right. Well, those are our main points.
Those are our big points.
We're going to be back with a lot of other little points. We even added a couple this week.
Yes, we did.
But before we do all that, I think it's time to
look at this Joker.
They dress like clowns now. Yes, look at this Joker room where we look at clues and indications about Jokery related items on Gotham. We've been doing it since episode one. I'm already down to season one, episode 13, with that weird dude in the bathroom and Penguin sitting at the lodge with Maroney, who's dead now. And then there's Jerome. And
there's a lot of people on this list that are dead now.
And then Jerome showed up in the blind fortune teller, and we were like, there's never going to be a Joker ever again.
And then they killed him.
And then he died. And then we were like, well, we'll bring it back whenever we can. And this is the first time we can, besides pointing out some stuff about Suicide Squad.
Yep.
Season 2, Episode 9, A Bitter Pill to Swallow. Right at the beginning of the episode, you see some very Mark Hamill-esque, Joker-esque eyes painted on a wall with ha 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 ha.
In the smile.
Yeah, and in a smile right underneath of it, right in the opening shot. It's basically, it does that, then it pans over to the newsstand. So we found a Joker, finally.
Yep. Finally.
How long has it been since Jerome died? What was
six
that?
Episodes.
So six episodes. We finally found a Joker.
It feels like a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels like it was only 2 weeks ago, but obviously not.
Yeah, but either Jerome was resurrected down in Indian Hill, or his madness is still infecting the streets of Gotham. Either way, this wall is pretty funny looking. And if you want to check out all of the Jokers we've come across so far, go to legendsofgotham.com and click on Look at This Joker right at the top.
Did the hitman working for the lady cease trying to kill Jim after this episode? He was dead.
Yeah.
They were all dead.
Yeah, they killed him. They killed that hitman.
Or does he mean Flamingo? And if you mean Flamingo, Joel, he's in jail.
Yeah. I have some thoughts on the lady. We'll get to him just a little bit here.
She's a lady.
Okay, but before we do have, I feel like the bat phone's going to start ringing any second. But before we do that, we wanted to mention our Patreon real quick, too.
Hi, we've got a Patreon over at patreon.com/universebox. It's a way that you can help support our podcast, Legends of Gotham and Greetings from Storybrooke, as well as some others that are going to be coming down the pike, such as We're So Lost.
Recording next Monday, 8:30 p.m. EST at live.universebox.com. We'll be covering Pilot Episode 2.
But Patreon, it's a monthly contribution. You can start at 10 cents. Seriously, it's in your couch. It's in your car. You probably got like $20 in your car because mm-hmm. we all do. Sticky with lollipops and things. But it's a way to help us beef up our content. That's what's letting us pick and choose which projects we do. Like Bill and Bobby in the chat room just did a special on with mm-hmm. Bob and David.
Yeah, Mr. Show, and then with Bob and David, the revival on right. Netflix. We did a two-part special.
And that's something we were able to do mm-hmm. because we had this. We've been able to upgrade mics. We've been able to upgrade cameras, hosting, all sorts of stuff. Yeah, and it just makes us better people.
And even the lower range donations you can make get you access to every book I've ever written.
Yep, which is not free. Nothing.
Yeah, there's like six of them now or something mm-hmm. like that. It gets you access to our patron hangouts where you can come hang out with us on Google Plus once a month.
Seriously, you can talk to us, ask us real questions.
And it also gets you exclusive movie commentaries, which we're going to get back into later on this week.
Yeah, probably this week because...
Yeah, but we want to thank our 35 patrons who are currently giving us $218 a month. And as I did,
you're gonna call them out. I was asking. Yeah, I was gonna refer them to that episode.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say thank you individually to all of them right now. Thank you, Angel, Carrie, Lisa, Jaime, Brian, Paul, Anne, Timothy, Michael, Tammy, Monica, David, Sarah, Rebecca, Karen, Sage of Earth, Elizabeth, Kelsey, Becca, Hope, Anne Marie. Not this Anne Marie. Other
Anne Marie. I was like, I'm not supporting us.
Travis, Nicole, Bobby, and a few who wish to.
Rest.
And a few who wish to remain anonymous, which is cool. It's you can cool, remain man. Anonymous.
Joel meant, will there be more? Or did the group just say, let's kick rocks, Jim's too tough? Oh, no, I think there will be more.
I have some theories on
there
that.
There are coming theories
up,
coming, sir.
Definitely. But thank you so much to our 35 patrons. We love each and every one of it.
Big
you.
Hearts. Bring, 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 bring. The bat phone, the bat phone. The answer
bat
it,
phone.
Bill.
The bat phone. What? Oh, hold on. I'm going to answer the bat phone here.
Hello? Legends of Gotham. Hey, it's Holy Bat Pastor. Holy Bill and Anne Marie Howe are two of my favorite people in the world.
Good.
I'm going to try to make this quick. These are just some odds and ends, some random observations from not just this past episode, but kind of from several of the most recent episodes. I don't know if we talked about it on earlier episodes of Legends of Gotham, but the bird that flew out of Barbara's mouth last week, someone probably mentioned it, but that was certainly, had to have been a callback to the bird that flew out of the mouth of Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman Returns. I love how they keep having these nods to various aspects of the Batman franchise as we see in film. Also, another observation, we had talked several weeks back about Zelda the Great being one of the magicians in the Batman mythology, and we have another look this past week at a machine in Edward Nygma's apartment, and I'm sure many of you saw it where it says Zelda on it. And it looks like one of those fortune-telling machines, possibly, and it's been there on several occasions. I think we first saw it in Mommy's Little Monster.
I'd like to see that pop up, or her pop up as a character.
Also, in regards to his decor, does anyone else get kind of a Schumachery vibe from Batman Forever? Just the way he's kind of decorated in a sociopath chic, I guess you could say. I think that may be intentional. And again, that validates the various aspects of the Batman franchise. Also, I just wanted to follow up on last week's voicemail, something happened with it. So just in case you were curious, my observation was this. Edward Nygma is driving a Chevy 2. Now, just hold on for a minute. The Chevy 2 was debuted as the Chevy 2. That was the official name. But then very quickly, it adopts this model called the Nova. And then for a number of years, it's kind of known popularly by both names, Chevy 2 and Nova. Mm-hmm. Eventually, the Nova dimension of the car's personality becomes the dominant personality or the dominant name, and it becomes known as only the Nova, and the Chevy 2 moniker is dropped.
I like that.
That reminded me very much of Edward Nygma. He comes into the world as Edward Nygma. Two personalities begin to fight it out. The dominant personality, as we see, is beginning to win and eventually will be one where he won't be known to the world as Edward Nygma, but really as the stronger personality, the Riddler. And so I thought that was kind of an interesting parallel to the car that they have given him to drive. I just can't imagine that's an accident. So anyway, that's my random thoughts. I look forward to hearing you guys tonight and watching you in the morning. Much love to you all. Good night, Gothamites.
Thank you very much, Lily Bathaster. Always a pleasure to play your voicemails.
Absolutely.
And I swear I didn't listen to it beforehand because it came minutes before the show.
It really did. So. Yes, we just got it then.
Yeah, but thank you very much. And we'll have more feedback from all you guys here in just a few minutes.
Yep.
Okay, but I wanted to talk a little bit about Captain Barnes.
Captain Barnes.
And Jim's line. The line of Jim. Okay, now Barnes has a wonderful little monologue in this. There's a lot of little wonderful little monologues
in
this episode.
Some great writing
Who
in this
wrote this episode? Find that out for me.
To the internet. This is Amory Google's things.
Okay, but he has a nice little monologue here, and he says the main point of it is there is no line, as in no line you can cross or no line to cross. There's just the law. So Barnes feels like any man is capable of anything given the right opportunity. Kind of like almost like that Joker idea from The Killing Joke. All that separates him and Batman is one really bad day.
Yeah.
Very nihilistic outlook by Barnes. I'm wondering if this is foreshadowing that he's going to cross that line, that line of the law, that law line, if you will.
Yeah.
Even after giving Jim the motivation he needed not to cross the line.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if we're going to see Barnes succumb
cross
to
the
yeah,
line.
Yeah.
I could see that because he was still struggling.
Yeah, definitely. So will the tables turn? Will Jim have to take Barnes down eventually? Will Barnes break bad, as it were?
Like, I'm getting there.
I'm kind of wondering if that's going to happen for sure. I do think this was definitely the first time I feel like they made decent use of Michael Chiklis as an actor.
Yes, they gave him something to do.
Yeah, it's felt like he's been phoning it in since he showed up in the GCPD. And I mean, that's no slight on Chiklis or anything. They just, like you said, they haven't given him much to do.
Right.
But he had some nice juicy stuff. He had to pretend like his leg was stabbed. He had to
gushing
get up in Jim's face a lot. And then he got this really nice little monologue about his backstory and why he's so extreme about everything has to follow the law and the letter of the law, and we have to do things by the book. We get to find out a little bit about why.
Yeah.
I guess apparently he was a soldier in a war.
Well, we knew that.
We knew he was a soldier. We didn't know he was necessarily like a wartime soldier.
I think kind of at this point, we have no idea what time frame they're using, because they're all using flip phones, y'all. Flip phones.
Or antique phones.
Right.
The lady.
So, well, but that's a style choice.
But I mean, it's a nebulous time anyway. So he might have been.
It could have been anything.
In the Persian Gulf. He might have been in the Iraq War.
Right.
Who knows,
we don't know what war, but it was the third tour there.
Yeah. But Barnes also tells Jim, you know, not to push the boundaries of the law. You know, when he's hanging the guy out the window, the piano repairman out the window.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if this is. If this philosophy is why he needs a Batman that isn't encumbered by the law.
Right.
You know, maybe this philosophy that Barnes gives Jim in this episode is why Jim feels okay turning to a Batman in a time of need. Because as a policeman, as a man of the law, he can't cross that line. Batman can cross that line.
Right.
And he, in most versions of the story, he fundamentally believes that Batman is a good man, and he has the best of intentions for Gotham City in his heart. And depending on who you believe in, most of the time he kind of halfway suspects it's Bruce Wayne anyway. You know, there was a really good episode of Batman the Animated Series like that. It was a Scarecrow episode, I think.
Uh-huh.
And Batgirl had been exposed to the Scarecrow gas, and she lived through this hallucination where she got killed as Batgirl without telling her dad that she was Batgirl. Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
And then he invades the Batcave. He's like, I always knew it was you, Bruce. I'm bringing you in. And he, like, you know, arrests Alfred and, like, tears apart the Batcave and completely destroys the Bat family. Aww. Really heart-wrenching episode. One of my favorites, for sure. But
The writer. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
I thought we were there. You finish?
No, go ahead.
Okay, the writer was Megan Mostyn Brown. And from what I can tell, she hasn't been listed as the writer since Welcome Back, Jim Gordon.
Interesting.
First episode. So that's pretty impressive for how awesome this episode was.
Yeah, well, that was the first episode back after the mid-season finale last year.
Right. But that was still, that's almost a year.
Oh, Bobby asked if we did an episode of that in the feed. We might have. Because we did a couple of Batman the Animated Series episodes. So yeah, we might have done that.
And that's why,
Bobby,
when you were saying that, I was like, I know this one.
Yeah. It's a good episode. Great episode. Go check that out on our feed with guest star Bobby.
That was the one we did with Bobby,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yay. Yeah, definitely.
Let me see here.
I don't know what episode it was, but okay, you wanted to talk a little bit about Tabby.
Tabby has a heart, guys. She has feelings. She has emotions, and it's not just let me kill you. She's so sad because of Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
She's mad at Jim because he hurt Barbara, not because of the plan and anything that's been set up. That's why she hired the hitman. It had nothing to do with the fact that Theo was arrested because of Jim. It's because Jim hurt her Barbara. I find that fabulous because it gives her a dimension.
Yeah.
She hasn't had anything.
She's basically been hired muscle. For most
stilettos and yeah. But I love that Theo tells her to go find a librarian to torture to make herself feel better.
For some reason when he said that I pictured Kristen Kringle right away.
So did I.
Speaking of Kristen Kringle, Ed kept another trophy.
I know.
He's gonna get busted, man.
Yep, you can't keep trophies, guys.
You can't keep your ex-girlfriend's glasses who you killed around.
Right? Yeah. Also, what did I say? Let's see. This was the first time we got a side of her that was emotional. There was, we haven't gotten really anything other than I'm bored. The mayor's no fun anymore. So it was really nice to see that and how mad she really is because she can't shoot herself.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't miss. I don't think she's ever missed, really. So.
Yeah, as long as we're talking about that, sure. I think I'll go ahead and do my last point here just so you can follow along about the lady.
Okay.
Who she hires to kill Jim Gordon. First of all, it's Missy from Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely love her.
It was
She's
actually
awesome.
Going to be an article that we
it was actually news. A news story we were going to report on this week, but obviously she was in the episode, so no need. Great to see her on Gotham. And another Doctor Who connection to Gotham, because as we all know, Sean Pertwee is the son of a Who.
You son of a Who.
But great to see her on the episode. You know, there are shades of Missy there, but I think it's a very different kind of character at the same time. Much more kind of collected, less goofy, less
significantly
snarky. Definitely. I also loved her crazy hair, like the weird crazy hair.
See, I didn't find it that crazy.
I thought it was like weird and swoopy and fun.
No, it was period for what they had going on with the speakeasy.
Yeah, but it was much different than her hair in Doctor Who, for example.
I mean,
it was definitely very styled.
Yes, it was highly styled.
And her old style phone, the old, weird antique phone was a lot of fun too. I also dug the whole I dug that we got to see a new mob boss in Gotham because we haven't. I mean, we got Maroni
Falcone.
But I
don't think she was a mob boss.
Well, she was kind of like she was a boss. She was boss like Fish was.
She
boss.
Was more of a madam.
But
a madam of assassins.
Well, I mean, she was running kind of a underground casino. So she was a boss in the same sense that Fish was a boss. Like she had boys, she had a thing going on, but she had an illicit business going on. She was the boss of.
Okay.
More or less, but we haven't really seen many of those people since last season because last season we had Maroni and Falcone and Fish and that guy Fish was sleeping with, that Russian guy she killed, and all those people around the table that got killed one by one.
They've all been killed at this point. No one's left.
So it was nice to see that kind of presence on Gotham.
But then
Gotham
who's
again.
Her boss?
I'd probably nobody at this point because, I mean, the King of Gotham has been
unseated. He's tucked into bed with Ed Nygma.
Yeah, so I mean, but it was nice to see that type of character on Gotham again. And I'm glad that it seems like she's probably going to be sticking around for a while because
a little bit at least. Yeah.
Well, as the first assassin she sent after Jim said, even if she fails, she tries again. She keeps sending people until she succeeds. And I think that even if Tabitha calls her off, it's going to be a point of pride. She's not going to stop. She's not going to let a failed target get away. She's going to be gunning for Gordon in the future, guaranteed. I would assume we might see one or two more hitmen come after Gordon. And then we're going to get like a full episode where she gets fully fleshed out. And we're going to see her come after Jim hard. And he's either going to take her down or not. But it's going to be a lot of fun seeing her on the show. And I mean, a really welcome addition to the Gotham family, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. sort.
Okay, so you jumped points. So I'm trying to see where I'm.
You wanted to talk about Bruce and Selena, right?
Okay. Well, you skipped your, yeah, that one that you have highlighted.
That's
okay.
Fine. Go ahead.
Okay, just, it confused me. Okay, Bruce and Selena, hi. what evidence does Selena have on Silver is what I'm really curious.
Very good question.
And how did she get it? Was this just from her spying on the big fancy penthouse? Because I'm sure she saw quite a bit of stuff if she was spying on that house for any length of time.
Oh, yeah, including stuff hidden in the wall and...
It was hidden in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
It was in a picture, not a wall. So how long has she been hanging around the window a lot? Okay, will Bruce actually believe her? Because I think she's going to need some sort of, like, physical evidence.
Well, it sounded like she had it because he had doubted her already.
Yeah, but is he going to believe when she tells him whatever she tells him?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And then this is sort of a... I mean, this is more Bruce and Silver versus Bruce and Selena, but does he partially like her because she's kind of like him with the whole high society and like richy people versus, you know, Kat and her gutter buddies?
Well, I don't think he was necessarily super anti-Kat.
No, I just...
I think Kat was more anti-normal life, anti-him, than him being anti-her.
I'm just...
And that kind of... That pushed him away.
I was just throwing it out there.
No, I'm just saying that's how I read the Bruce and Selena relationship. Is that, you know, she pushed him away because she was...
Because she's afraid to get close to anybody.
Yeah, she was afraid of rejection.
But she still can't... I can't quit you! So, yeah.
Yeah, but I definitely think the whole high society thing is part of it for sure. Also, she's for a 14-year-old, I'm sure she's a very attractive young woman. And she's... she also slipped him a hotel room key.
About that.
Which was a little...
wrong.
A little advanced...
But you see what she's coming with from.
Yeah, very true.
So there's that.
But I'm kind of interested to see where the whole thing with Silver goes, because obviously she's still connected to this whole plan Theo has, which I don't think we even...
I get there.
Oh, you get there?
We get
okay.
there.
Excellent. Okay, so, you know, back to Bruce Wayne in the house and everything. I really loved the whole cat and mouse game that him and Alfred were playing whole episode. I feel like Alfred keeping one step ahead of Bruce is actually part of his training.
Because if
Bruce is ever going to stand a chance of keeping his identity secret in Gotham, especially with like Gordon, who has known him since he was a kid and everything. And I mean, he's a celebrity in Gotham too.
Right.
Like keeping his identity, if he's going to keep his identity secret, he first must fool the butler. If he can sneak out around Alfred, who is obviously very attentive.
Yeah. Even more so now because of Bruce trying to do all this stuff.
Yeah. Then he's going to breeze through the whole secret identity thing. I really like the line too. If you force me to be your jailer, then that is what I will be.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that line. Although I feel like the whole Bruce, kind of motif, Bruce tries something, Alfred says no, Bruce does it anyway, is getting a little tired.
This was a little bit
of a twist on it.
Yes.
Just a slight twist because Bruce doing it anyway didn't happen because Alfred kept blocking him.
Right.
But it's feeling a little tired, especially after that one episode earlier this season where Bruce fired Alfred.
You can't fire your legal guardian.
If you have enough money, you probably can.
You probably can.
I thought they had kind of established that boundary there. Like, okay, you're going to help me. But then again, I feel like this whole section was A, Alfred protecting Bruce, B, kind of part of his training too.
Yeah.
B, learning to sneak around Alfred. If you can sneak around me, Bruce, then you deserve to do what you're going to do.
I don't know.
Although I feel like Bruce's fake excuse, like I'm going to go to Jim Gordon in the morning, that's what he should have been doing.
Yes.
He should have done that a while ago.
Yes. Yes.
Taking it to Gordon. Yep. King Kerr in the chat room says Nigma and Penguin need to take out Tabitha.
Yes.
That would be fun.
That would be good too. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. But what were you going to say about Bruce?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, on to me.
Yeah.
Are there any legitimate businesses in Gotham?
The newspaper man at the beginning of the episode.
I don't even believe it. I don't even believe it because everything seems to be a cover or a money laundering scheme or something. Like, everything's a cover for an assassin's club, a den. Like,
a sex den, you mean?
A sex den, yes. I wasn't going to say it, but yes, a sex den. so it's like we have not walked into anything that people aren't like hanging out ready to kill people in.
Well, that could be a function of the side of society
that we're seeing,
that we're exploring in Gotham. You know, it could be just
we're
dealing with dirty cops and dirtier criminals, you know, so we're seeing their world and what they interact with, you know.
All right, fine. There must be legitimate businesses elsewhere.
Well, I'm just saying, maybe the sandwich shop right before Penguin killed that guy, he went and got a sandwich.
Oh.
Because, you know, Penguin killing
people
and eating stuff.
Yeah.
Now he's moved on to Chinese food now.
Hey, you know, he didn't kill anybody for that, though.
Right. Speaking of Penguin, though, I feel like we're finally seeing him. We're seeing him at his lowest point he's ever been in the series, lower than when Jim threw him in the river.
Yep.
Lower than when he was a cook at Maroni's. I feel like this is Penguin at his absolute lowest.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been this down before.
No.
I think the thing that is most shocking is that it seems like he regrets what he's done, which we've never seen from Penguin before.
Yes.
He regrets his life of crime, his murderous tendencies, which makes me really very depressed, because it makes me sad for Penguin, because that's not my Penguin. He should be joyous in his killing.
Yeah.
You know,
he should be joyous in his killing.
Yeah, but I wonder, you know, he just had a not so good, very bad day, Penguin. You know, he was just curled up under the covers. What's that?
Joel from Portland. Cat can't quit, Bruce. Oh my God, you said that as I typed it.
We're psychic. You know, but he's very depressed, curled up under the covers, healing up and everything.
Yeah.
Poor Pengy.
Poor Pengy pants.
I wonder, though, if Ed hadn't pushed him like he did with that monologue, would Penguin have left Gotham and a life of crime behind, do you think? Do you think he would have ditched out like he said he was going to?
No.
Why's that?
Because that's all he knows.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he really knows. However, I can't wait to see what his dad has to say about everything.
Yeah, I'm very excited for his father to come into the picture, too. I
kind of expected him by now, actually.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how it's going to happen. Although that promotional picture they released with his father and...
Mother,
obviously that's not happening.
No.
So...
Maybe it's flashback, but we don't get much of that with this.
Yeah, and Bobby in the chat room says he regretted it because it led to his mother's demise. Very true. Very
true.
It did. And we have someone named Jokes on You in the chat room.
But joke's on you, Batman.
Okay, and last but not least.
Last but certainly not. Welcome to Gotham, brothers, monks, whatever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Did you really all have to stab the one poor security guard? I think one of you could have handled it, but everybody had to warm up their knives.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see where this is going.
Yeah, these are assassins from the Order of Saint Dumas.
Yes.
Saint Dumbass, as some might say. But no, they're highly trained assassins. They're Batman level fighters, but they have no moral sticky thing with killing people.
Right.
Obviously. So it's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I almost wish there was a slightly larger budget so there was more of them. Like, I think there was like a dozen of them. I think 40 would be better. Maybe. Jokes on You says, I would like to thank you for creating this podcast. You're welcome.
We would like to thank you for enjoying the podcast.
Yeah, for enjoying the podcast. Yeah, definitely.
Yes. Jokes on you.
but yeah, like I think 40 or so assassins would have been a much more menacing presence than the 12
we got. Well, maybe more are coming. Maybe more are coming. Maybe this initial 12 is just to get Theo out of jail.
This is just the first batch.
This is the first wave.
And then we'll get...
It's like in Plants vs. Zombies. First wave zombies.
And then we'll get Assassins 2, the new batch. It'll be good. Speaking of Theo in prison,
yeah.
I almost feel like him going to prison,
yeah.
I almost feel like that was part of the plan.
He's too comfortable.
Yeah, he's way too comfortable. And he almost says it to Tabitha.
Yeah.
Like, you know, things are still in motion. Just because I'm in here doesn't mean the plan has stopped. We're going to be ruling the city. Like, how does a disgraced mayor go from sitting in Blackgate Prison to running the city? I can't wait to see that connective tissue. It's going to be good. But, you know, I feel like Theo getting arrested last episode was very much part of the Batman's gambit that he's playing throughout this season.
Right.
I also wonder, what do you think? Do you think, because Bruce still seems pretty convinced that Theo has the goods on his parents' killer. Mainly because he's a man of business.
Right.
He wouldn't make a deal like that without backing it up. Do you think?
No.
You still don't think you think
that? I think he knows who did it because I'm sure he whatever like commissioned it, but he wasn't going to tell Bruce.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. He's not a good man, Bruce. Bruce, you're 14. Shut it. Sorry. There you have it.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, I guess it's about time then.
Oh, no, there was...
What's up?
There was eye things again.
What eye things?
Bullseye.
Oh, yeah. Yes. The bullseye with the glasses. Joel in Portland says, all businesses are corrupt, but who doesn't want to go shopping at that weapon and explosive Costco store from the Firefly episode? Yes, bring that back.
I want to go... It wasn't the hub. It was...
I can't remember the name of it. It wasn't the hub, though.
Cookie Mark.
But I want to see an entire episode set there, like a couple villains and Jim Gordon duking it out in the comical explosive weapon warehouse,
right? Like, and how much time? I just randomly thought is how much time does Ben McKenzie got to spend with the like coordinator for all these fights? Because he was really physical. The
elevator one was great.
Was amazing. There was flips.
And some might say it was a little pat, but I personally enjoyed the opening of the elevator doors and the fight going on and then closing and keep going on.
Whatever. There's always that level of that type of comedy to the show. Sorry. Anyway, continue.
Okay, so let's see here. And this is an accurate count. I kept track. I kept track throughout the episode. Out of 534 puncture wounds, how many puncture wounds do you give this episode, Anne-Marie?
I'm going to go with 495.
Why is that?
I think it was a really good episode. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think we're leading up to the good stuff.
Like the big blow your hat off.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad that we finally got a little more on this whole brothers, monks, Dumas's, dumbasses.
Yeah, it's okay. You can say dumbasses.
Okay, the dumbasses.
Jada made it okay.
Jada! So I don't want to give it much higher than that. I'm not like, whoa. I have been a few other episodes this season, but it was good times, good times.
Bobby gives it 450 puncture wounds. Me?
Yeah, you.
You know, I'm going to give it, I'll give it like 485 because I thought the Enigma penguin stuff was all phenomenal and it was great to spend that much time with Enigma. Because I feel like this is...
Haven't been getting a lot.
I feel like this is the most Enigma-heavy episode we've gotten. So, like, in the series, maybe.
I don't know. The one where he kills Kristen was pretty heavy, too.
Well, I don't mean heavy from an emotional perspective. Oh. I mean as far as, like, percentage of the episode.
So do I. I mean, we saw him, like, kill her and date her and... Okay.
I feel like we got more this episode.
Okay, we got more.
Or at least it felt more substantial, at any rate. And I really enjoyed it almost felt like a B-plot with Jim.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was a little repetitive, a little shooty, like...
It's a cop show.
I know. And I really enjoyed the flamingo, of course. It was nice to see him. I hope we get him back. I hope we get the lady back. I hope the villains continue to rise all the way up to 534 puncture wounds, which was the arbitrary. And now, on to the news. News. Okay, first up, the ratings. And
ratings are awesome.
According to TV by the Numbers, who know about these types of things.
They do.
Gotham is most likely going to get a third season. The show is Fox's number 3 rated drama behind Sure Thing, Empire, and likely picks for now of Rosewood, but it's in a better position than Rosewood at the moment.
Never heard of Rosewood, have you?
Neither have I. Aside from a 1 week blip where it dropped to 1.3 same day rating, Gotham has been a model of consistency this season, scoring a 1.5 or 1.6 for every episode. That's right on Fox's scripted average, and it's doing those numbers with no help as it leads off Monday nights, especially with stiff DC Comics related competition these days. So yes. so it's nice. It's pretty sure thing we're getting to season
right.
three,
it, which it's is very not, good. Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
Joel gives the episode a period in the shower.
Period.
So.
Just a period. I don't know just if a it's period. A good period, a bad period.
That's fine. Why don't we watch the trailer for The Son of Gotham while we wait on Joel to
figure out what's
figure
going
out
on.
What his rating is. The pretty intense trailer too. Let's check it out.
I hereby order Theo Gallivan released.
They're releasing Theo, and then he gets punched by Jim.
Yep.
They take Jim away.
Whatever Gallivan is planning, it's going down today.
Yeah, there's all the guys in the hoods. Paper walls being busted. Only one episode left after this one. Some silver. Some stabby stab.
Nice.
Bruce in a tunnel.
I couldn't have done it without you.
Gotham.
And Theo couldn't have done it without good old Jim Gordon. Excellente. Good stuff. Good stuff. Back in the chat room, Joel gives it 70 out of 88 lines crossed. Hey,
Joel, we've talked about this.
You can't
puncture
make
wounds. 534 puncture wounds.
You have to conform to the arbitrary
It must
scale.
Be the salmon that he's having for dinner.
Must
messing
be.
With it.
Must be. And I will warn you guys, if you're super spoiler averse, this might be a little spoilery, so you might want to skip ahead about a minute. But Corey Michael Smith, during his Gothamatics Q&A a couple weeks ago, kind of dropped a little hint about maybe a returning character. And I'll give you one more chance to skip away.
Go away, go away, go away.
Yeah, the Riddler teased
Jokes
the return
on
of
you,
the
Batman.
Joker. Jokes on you, Batman. Yeah, let's see here. I'll just go ahead and scroll down.
It's close to the bottom.
Yeah, because they summarized all of his other answers and everything here. And he was asked if he missed Jerome, and he said Corey Michael Smith on Twitter said, "Yes, Cameron Monaghan is brilliant, but nothing is ever as it seems in Gotham." So,
then there's a nice gift.
Yeah, but we might be seeing Jerome return, come back around at some point. Okay, and let's see. Joel says the salmon was yummy and 404 wounds. And nice. King Kerr, frowny faces from the two more episodes of Gotham.
Yes.
I concur.
Really?
Yes, definitely.
Concur with Kerr?
Yeah, so next week, when you're done watching The Son of Gotham. What I want you to do, I want you to go find a cop. I want you to stab him 43 times in the stomach. And then I want you to email legendsofgotham@gmail.com. Before they arrest you, tweet us at Legends of Gotham. Once you're in jail, usually there's a good education program in prison. So they'll let you use a computer. Facebook us, facebook.com/Legends of Gotham. And with your one phone call.
Call
us 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. You dirty, dirty cop killers. And first up, as usual, we're going to start with Bobby. Take it away, Bobby.
Hey, guys. It's Bobby.
Hi.
Didn't have really a lot to say about this episode tonight, but I at least wanted to send in a quick voicemail nonetheless. It was entertaining enough, I guess. It was kind of cool to see Gordon as a badass, or get to see how much of a badass he can be, having to face down his own little League of Assassins, as it were. The interplay between Bruce and Alfred was pretty cool. It was kind of cool to see Alfred, stand up to Bruce. Stand still, this little boy. Where's Bullock? Where was Bullock during the episode? Maybe that's why I wasn't
sorely
so
missed.
Entertained. I guess Barbara's in a coma, so I'm thinking that she's going to wake up from the coma eventually, and that's how conveniently she'll just, not remember a thing.
I think because Jim didn't go with her back to Arkham, they're going to take her down to Indian Hill.
Yep.
Going down
that's why,
to
I think that's
Indian
why he
Hill.
Asked if she was – or if he was riding with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And her and Jim will end up back together and raising a little tiny tiny little bat girl. Other than that, I really didn't, there wasn't a lot. Well, the monks. Well, how come? I was expecting dozens and dozens of monks. And here at the end of the episode, we finally get the monks, the Order of Damas.
It's 12.
And it's what?
First wave,
like eight
guys.
Eight of them or something. Not even a dozen. Hopefully that's just the first wave and we're expecting more to come, because I was expecting the streets to just be flooded with monks. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like, it was just a meh episode. So, like, there was a bunch of assassins. So, like, quick and easy scale. Out of 24 assassins, I'll give it 17. No, that wasn't fair. It was an all right episode. I'll give it 18. 18 out of 24 assassins.
One more assassin doesn't really help that much.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah, I guess it does. I guess it does. Thank you very much, Bobby. And last week, we saw this after we got done with the show.
So we obviously couldn't include
a newbie named Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Sent in a voicemail about last week's episode. So we're going to go ahead and play it now. Take it away, Brian.
Hey, guys. It's Brian.
Hey.
This is my first time ever calling in. I normally just watch the show on YouTube the day after. But, you know, I like it enough lately. I wanted to start watching it live. And, you know, tonight's episode was good. Tonight was definitely a good episode. It was one of my favorites of the season. They're definitely going somewhere. I know they're building up to a mid-season finale. So, yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought Barbara died. I felt like it would have been a little bit more of, like, a impact, I guess you could say. It would have made the episode a little stronger, and it made, like, the episode – I'm tongue-tied right now. It would have made the episode seem to make more sense if she died. But since she didn't, it seemed kind of like – it was fun to watch her just kind of run around and mess with Jim, but it seemed kind of pointless if she wasn't going to die. But all in all, I did like the episode. If I had to give it a ranking between 1 to 10, I would give it about an 8.9. Keep doing what you guys are doing. I love the show, and I'll call in again with another review next week.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Unless he did. Let me double-check her.
Unless you did.
I can check right now because I'm going to check.
Checking.
No, we didn't actually get one from Brian. Sorry, Brian. But thank you very much, and we hope you call in again. Sorry.
Yes, please.
Yeah, definitely sorry we missed it last week. Sometimes Google Voice takes a few minutes to email them to me.
Yeah, we actually almost missed some others.
Yeah, but one more voicemail here from Rebecca. Take it away, Rebecca.
What's up, Legends of God?
What's up?
Rebecca Johnson, and I'm calling about the season 2 episode titled A Bitter Pill to Swallow. Even though this was a good episode, I wasn't all that invested in it. I liked the elevator fight scene and the Ed Nygma penguin stuff, but overall, this one didn't do much for me. I will say, though, that Bruce Wayne's turtleneck game was on point. Can't wait to hear your thoughts.
You guys know...
Oh, that turtleneck was
here,
awful.
Here, hold on.
You're pulling up the picture you showed me earlier?
Yeah, you guys know that turtleneck was a total Batman reference, right? Here, I'll pull up the picture
and
show you guys.
No, see, I think it was Steve Jobs.
No, it wasn't Steve Jobs.
It was totally Steve Jobs.
It wasn't Steve Jobs. Hold on one sec. I got to do the right Google search here. This is called...
Watch us Google things.
Googling things. Okay, hold on one second. I'm almost there. And this is a really good reference, too, which is why I'm taking the time to do it.
And he did.
Okay. Actually, one of the pictures has this next to a picture of Steve Jobs.
Does it?
Yeah, your comparison's pretty on point. It's Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
In the Batman movies, wore a turtleneck exactly like the one young Bruce is wearing.
Ugly.
In this episode. And here's the picture with Steve Jobs for reference. But yeah, so it was a Batman reference. That stupid outfit that young Bruce
was awful outfit for his sleazy girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. You don't like silver very much,
I don't.
Do you? Mm-hmm. And Bobby says Adam West always rocked a turtleneck, too.
Turtlenecks are awful. Mm-hmm. Burn them.
Okay, and we have one last letter here from Cliva. You want to read it?
Yes. I am the beginning of the end and the end of time and space. I am essential to creation and surround every place. Who am I? The letter E. E for Ed.
I love that, by the way.
Yes. Oh my God. I love Edward on the show. He was funny, clever, and just really fun to watch. He has been this entire season of Gotham. Keep giving me more Ed. He is one of the two reasons I watch the show, the other being the Penguin. Both of these characters just steal the scene for me every time they are shown. I gotta be honest, everything else that happened in the show, I don't really care about. I think the whole triangle between Jim, Barbara, and Lee is boring, kinda. Mm-hmm. Theo and his sister's storyline, slow and just not interesting. And Bruce, kinda dumb. I don't see him as the future Batman. Okay, I fight with you on that one. Who knows? Maybe the other characters we will get later in this season, but not right now. Ed Riddler and Penguin storyline is the only reason to watch the show, at least for me. I give this episode 44 out of 50 Miss Kringle eyeglasses.
Stupid Ed. Don't keep
stupid,
trophies.
Stupid Ed.
Don't keep what, trophies.
What? Bat hickeys.
Oh yeah. Joel from Portland says Bruce has to hide all the bat hickeys from Silver with the turtleneck, which I could totally see as it being that's why they chose it, because they have been making out quite a bit.
Yep.
Okay, so next week, when you're done watching
The Son of Gotham,
what I want you to do, I want you to go find that cop that stabbed in an alleyway, put pressure on the wounds while you're holding the wound with one hand, take your other hand, email us legendsofgotham@gmail.com. Tweet us at Legends of Gotham. Facebook is facebook.com/Legends of Gotham. Find the Flamingos Change. Beat the cop. 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. Why are you such a cop killer? Not even – I know the Gotham police are dirty, but they don't deserve to die.
Dirty.
Why are you doing that? Don't do that. Just send us feedback after next week's episode of Gotham.
Stabby.
Okay, we want to thank our chat room who joins us 8:30 p.m. EST at live.universebox.com on Tuesday night, the night after Gotham airs. We'd love to see you here.
Join us, please. Yes. Yay.
Anne-Marie, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at AMDSimone.
And as for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Bill Meeks. You can follow all of the podcasts we do at universebox.com. You can sign up for our gift exchange there as well. There's a blog post right up on the front page.
Sign up. We like presents.
And you can find Batman down in the Batcave, hanging out, going, yo, I'm Batman, yo.
I'm Batman, yo.
I love it.
That was it?
Yeah, that's it.
There was no until next time.
No, wait. We were about to do it.
Oh.
We were about to back up. Join us next time for more
Legends of Gotham.
Son of a Gotham. Hey, I like to go to Gotham. You would like to as well. If you don't want to go to Gotham, I say you go to hell.
Hello.